Message. Okay, we're doing a series over the summer weeks called Choose Jesus. And I want to begin with a question for you on this Sunday morning. When was the last time that you felt you failed? When was the last time you felt you massively messed up in your life? I'm going to be a bit vulnerable in front of you this morning. I'm going to give you three little snapshots of my life of times when I failed. The first one was when I was a child. When I was in year six, I was a good student. I got on really well in school and had lots of friends, and everything was great. But one particular morning, my friend Paul Benton brought to school with him a stink bomb, an old-fashioned stink bomb. And that was where it all went badly wrong, because me and Paul Benton decided that it'd be a great idea to let this stink bomb off in the school canteen. Kids, you should not do this. Okay, this is not anything I'm promoting, but this is when I was a 10-year-old, let this stink bomb off in the school canteen. It absolutely stank out the place. The kitchen staff refused to cook dinner for the whole school, so they called an assembly. And they were really angry. All the teachers were really, really angry. And they said, we're not finishing this assembly until whoever did it owns up. And to our credit, me and Paul Benton put our hands up and said, yeah, it was us. We messed up. We did it. We were naughty. We let off the stink bomb. And what happened from there was we had a month of detentions. My parents had to come and collect me from school. And I felt like I had massively failed. I'd massively let them down for my stupidity. That's when I was a child. What a failure. What a silly thing to do. When I was a student, I was at Norwich at University of East London, University of East Anglia, in Norwich. And in the third year of my studies, I was the president of the CU. It was a large Christian union of over 100 students, and everyone, all my friends, knew that I was a Christian. And one particular evening, it was a friend's birthday, and we went out for a few drinks and a meal and to do various things as a bunch of friends. And we had a great time. And as we were going out, as we were there, as we were enjoying ourselves, all my friends one by one said, oh, Mark, we're going. Do you want to come? And I was like, no, I'll stay. Oh, do you want to come? Do you want to go? And I was like, no, I'll stay. And what happened was, by staying, I ended up having far too much to drink. And the next morning, woke up with a terrible headache, with a terrible hangover, and had been completely and utterly drunk. And I felt a complete failure to all of my friends, to all of those who knew me. I was the president of the CU, and yet I had this evening out and got completely drunk. And I felt a failure, felt like I'd messed up. What a horrible feeling when you feel like you failed and when you messed up. And then when I'm a parent now I have three wonderful children all sitting on the front row. And, you know, when you're a parent, when you're a dad, you do your best to love your kids and have a fun time with them and teach them and train them as best you can. But you know that feeling sometimes when you've had a bad day at work or you're a bit stressed and you're feeling a bit kind of down about life, and you get home and one of the kids does something ever so small, ever so incidental, and you lose it. You start shouting at them, you start telling them off, and it's the smallest little thing which would just need a little, don't do that. But you, for some reason, because of the day you've had, because of the stress that you're feeling, you lose it and you shout at them and then you feel so bad. You feel like a failure. I've just given you three snapshots as a child, as a student, as a parent. The reality is that all of us feel at different times in our life like we have failed, like we've messed up. Here's the strap line, the message I want you to remember today. When you fail, keep choosing Jesus. We're going to look at Peter in the Bible today. We're going to look at how Peter, who had followed Jesus for three whole years, who was bold, who was committed, who had left his nets to follow Jesus, how he failed in the most catastrophic of ways. In fact, Peter said to Jesus, and I quote from Matthew 26, even if everybody else falls away, even if everybody else messes up and lets you down, Jesus, I won't. That's what he said. So let's read Luke chapter 22, verses 54 to 62. Then, seizing him, that's Jesus, they led Jesus away. He'd just been arrested. And they took him to the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with Jesus. But Peter denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. Man, I am not, Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter said, I'm not going to let you down, Jesus. I'm there when everyone else is gone. I am there. What does he do? Three times he flatly says, I didn't know Jesus. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know him. And then that verse where Jesus sees Peter, looks at Peter. It's one thing failing and messing up. It's quite another when you fail and you mess up and the person that you failed or the person that you messed up from actually sees you do it. Jesus saw Peter deny him. He saw him across the courtyard deny that he ever knew him. And then he weeps in verse 62. He cries. He's distraught. For 3 years, Jesus has led him and he's followed him and he's seen the miracle man that he is, and now he's let him down. He's absolutely distraught. What a failure he felt. What a failure at that moment Peter must have felt. And I think we can all relate to that. We can all relate to this. We can all relate to having failed at times, having let God down, having let friends down, having let our wife down, our husband down, those work colleagues around us, when we've failed and let them down. When we failed as a parent, when we failed as a friend, when we failed as a Christian, when we failed in the areas of our life. Let me ask you this question. Why did Peter not choose Jesus? Why did Peter fail? What was it? Well, there's many things you could say. I'm going to pick two. Two things. The first was that he was weak. Peter, in this situation, was weak. To give you the background to this happening, and the same day, it was the day that Jesus took the disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, the garden where Jesus was praying to the Father about going to the cross. And Jesus said to his disciples, pray. Stand with me and pray. But each one of them fell asleep. Each one of them didn't pray. They were exhausted and they fell asleep. They were exhausted. They were weak. They had not prayed. There wasn't the physical energy. There wasn't the spiritual time spent praying to their Father. There was none of that in place. So Peter was in a weak place when he was asked by the servant girl, do you know Jesus? He was physically tired. Spiritually, he'd not engaged with God. Let me tell you, most of the times when we fail and mess up, it's because we feel weak. It's because either physically or emotionally we're tired, or we're feeling weak, or it's because we spiritually haven't been praying, reading our Bibles, and spending time in God's presence. When do we fail? When do we mess up? It's normally when we are in a weak place physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The second reason why Peter failed was fear. Interestingly, we can't be too hard on Peter because all the other disciples had fled. Peter was there in the courtyard, but no one else was with him. They'd all gone scampering, scarpering, but he was there. He stayed in the courtyard. He was scared, but he was there. And he had watched as Jesus was flogged, as Jesus was beaten, as Jesus was spat at. He watched while these things took place. He watched and he was fearful for his own life. He was not quite as bold as he thought he was. He was fearful of death. He was fearful of man. For many of us, when we fail, it's because we are fearful of men. We are fearful of what others might say. We are fearful of what others might think. We don't stand up for Jesus. We don't speak out because we're fearful of what others might say. We do certain things. We act in certain ways because we feel that if we don't do that, we will be ridiculed and people will laugh at us. When it comes down to it, the bottom root of often much of our failure is we fear that we cannot be different. We fear that we cannot do what we are called to do. So why did Peter fail? He was weak and he was fearful. But here's the thing. Jesus was not surprised by Peter's failure. In fact, as it's referenced in that scripture, he predicted that Peter would fail and Peter would deny Jesus three times. In Matthew, it says there, verse 34 of chapter 26, it says that Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him three times. Peter says, no, it's not going to happen. No, I can do it. I'm strong. But Jesus was right. Let me tell you, Jesus is not surprised when we fail, when we get it wrong, when we mess up, when we slip into temptation, when we fail to speak up for Jesus, when we don't take the opportunity that God has given to us. He's not surprised. When we fail, we need to keep choosing Jesus. The devil will tell you one strike and you're out. The devil will tell you one failure and you're rubbish, you're no good. The devil will tell you, you fail, you sin, you mess up, you're a marked man, you're a marked woman. But Peter was not defined by his failure. And let me tell you, each one of you, you are not defined by your failure, whatever that may be. From the youngest child to the oldest person in this room, whatever you have done, you are not defined by your failure. Let's turn to the second scripture, John 21 and verse 15 to 25. Now, just to say, this is important. We're going to look at this scripture, which directly connects with Peter denying Jesus three times. But here's something I just want you to know. Jesus had already met the disciples before this bit of scripture happens. He'd already met them and had breakfast with them. Jesus had already engaged with Peter and spoken to Peter. What we have in John 21, 15 to 25 is a scripture, a conversation to show us that God deals with our failures. It's to show us, it's to speak to each one of us that God forgives. You're not defined by your failure. And when you fail, keep choosing Jesus. So let's read this wonderful scripture. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, Jesus said to Peter a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Now, kids, I need three of you to just come up and hold something for me. You haven't got to say anything, but I just want three of you kids just to come up the front and hold something for me. Okay, anyone going to come up? Grace, come up. Yep, come up. I need one more. One more. Yep, if you could come up. Fantastic. Just got to hold something. You haven't got to do anything. Come and stand here in the row and hold something. And hold that and turn there. Okay, Grace, could you hold that and just turn there? And if you could just come and stand here. Okay, fantastic. All right, so, okay, what you've got for Peter is that Peter would have been living his life for those few days after he denied Jesus in the courtyard, feeling like a failure, because once, twice, three times, he had failed. He had denied Jesus. He said he wasn't going to, but three times he failed. And what you have here in this scripture in John 21, in verse 15, 16, and 17, for us to visualize, for us to relate to our own life, is Jesus canceling out each of our failures. So here's the first time that Peter denied Jesus. In verse 15, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He says, yes, I love you. Can you rip that in half? Just rip it in half and then put it on the floor. Okay, fantastic. Just stay there, okay? So that's what happens. When Peter said to Jesus, yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Rip. That failure is done and dealt with. The second time in verse 16, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, I love you. Can you rip that in half? Yeah, fantastic. And drop it on the floor. Fantastic. Failure done. Failure dealt with. Third time, Peter asked Jesus, do you love me? He says, yes, I do. Rip. And done. Failure done and failure dealt with. You see, Jesus has already spoken to Peter over breakfast. Jesus already would have forgiven Peter and spoken to him. But what you have here is for us, for each one of us to understand the forgiveness of God, how Jesus can deal with our failure and shame. You have here each of those failures done and dealt with. Do you love me? Yes. Canceling out the first denial. Failure number two, done and dealt with. Failure number three, done and dealt with. Thank you, ladies. Can you go and sit back down, okay? You see, when we fail, when we mess up, we come to Jesus. He asks us a question. Well, do you love me? You say, yes, I love you. I'm sorry, Lord. I messed up. Failure done, ripped up, and dealt with. So important. When we fail, we keep choosing Jesus. And you see, many of us, we think we're defined by our failure. We carry around labels. We say, well, I'm a sinner. I'm defined by my failures. Jesus says, well, do you love me? You say, yes, I love you. Well, you're not defined by your failures. You say, well, I'm a coward. That's me. I don't speak up for Jesus. I'm not very good at evangelism. I'm not very good at sharing about Jesus. I keep quiet. I feel like a failure. I feel like a coward. Jesus says, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Well, you know what? That label, that failure is dealt with. You say, well, I'm adulterer. I messed up. And in a past relationship, I did something that is terrible. I did something completely wrong. And Jesus says, well, do you love me? And you say, yes, I love you. Well, that failure is done and dealt with. You say, well, I'm a liar. That's me. I'm a failure. I lie. I make things up. I pretend. I pretend to be better than I am. I make things up on social media all the time to look good. Well, Jesus says, do you love me? Yes. Well, then you're not defined by that failure. That failure is dealt with. I feel, kids, some of you think, well, I'm a loser. The kids all tell me I'm a loser. That's the label that I have at school, and no one likes me, and I feel like a complete loser. Well, Jesus says, do you love me? You say, yes. Well, you know what? That label, that failure is done and it is dealt with. I feel so weak. I just feel a weak person. I feel I've got nothing to offer. I feel I'm a failure. That's my label. Well, Jesus says, do you love me? You say, yes, where that failure is dealt with. You see, when we fail, we're to come to Jesus. We're to come to Jesus again and again and again and again. Now, something really important. This is something really important for all of us, but I'm guessing particularly for the adults. Many of you adults, you'll know that. You'll know that to be true. But what you do is you wait. You wait between feeling a failure and messing up and experiencing the joy of Jesus ripping up that label and knowing that you are loved and knowing that you are accepted and knowing that you are forgiven. And there's a period of time where you wait and you wallow in your failure. Many of us do it. There's a time where we messed up, we got it wrong, we know we did wrong, and so we think, I've got to feel bad about myself for a day or for a week or for a certain amount of time before God's forgiveness and failure can kick in. We wallow in that self-pity. We wait in that kind of space. We do it because we think we need to do that. We think we need to do something because our failure was so bad and we let God down again. Let me tell you, the grace of God says that's not what God came to do. That's not what Jesus accomplished on the cross. When you fail, choose Jesus and let your failure be dealt with once and for all and enjoy the grace of God straight away. You gain nothing by wallowing in self-pity, self-loserish, paying some kind of penalty. You gain nothing in that. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleanses all sin. 1 John 1 verse 7. Romans 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We mess up. We come to Jesus. We ask for forgiveness, and we are free. We are set free. You see, this is majorly different from any other religion. Because any other religion in the world, then the followers of that religion carry the weight and carry the burden of what they have done wrong. So in Hinduism, if someone has done something wrong, has failed, has messed up, they carry the bad karma around with them like a weight on their back. In Islam, if a Muslim has done something wrong and they have failed, they carry the weight of knowing that the scales of Allah are going to be tipped against them and not in their favor. Every other religion has a sense where people carry the failure. They carry the weight of what they have done wrong. Christianity is so different from that. It says you are not defined by your failure. Your failure is dealt with once and for all. It's ripped up. It's dealt with. You fail. You choose Jesus. You are free. You are set free. In fact, what does Jesus say to Peter in John 21? He simply says, follow me. Follow me. So it goes like this. You go, I fail. I choose Jesus, I'm set free, follow Jesus. And repeat, and repeat, and repeat. That's the Christian life. Yes, we ask with God's help that we fail less and less, and we are strong and courageous more and more. But when we fail, we're to choose Jesus straight away. We're to know the benefit of his grace, and we're to follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said to Peter. And that snapshot of Peter failing three times and Peter being reinstated three times is for our own benefit. Church, I want us to live that this week. When you fail, when you mess up this week in small ways and in big ways, when you mess up, hear the message of this morning. I've failed. I need to choose Jesus. I need to rip up that label. I'm not being defined by my failure. I am enjoying the grace of God, and I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to finish with another little snapshot from Scripture, because Peter has taught us a lot this morning. But I want to look at one other piece of the Bible where Peter and Jesus interact. And this is a positive example where Peter shows us what it looks like to choose Jesus every day. What it looks like to choose the adventure of following Jesus. So we're looking in Matthew 14, verse 22 to 33. So this is earlier on in the Gospels, Peter and Jesus. Look at this as a positive way of how we are to choose Jesus. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed the crowd, he went up onto a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, there he was alone. But the boat with the disciples in it was already a considerable distance from the land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But he saw the wind. He was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, I'm not going to preach that whole passage, but I just want to show you a choice that passage represents. There's a choice there between the boat and between walking on the water. And I think that choice in that passage that Peter shows us is a choice for our lives. You see, the boat represents comfortable. It represents safe. It represents being secure. It represents your boundaries that you know, safe and secure. That's a choice that many of us make each and every day. But there's another choice that we can make. And it's a scary choice. And it's a choice that sometimes we don't know where it will lead and where it will go. But it's a choice of following Jesus. It's a choice of looking to Jesus and walking on the water. And this passage shows us that when we are believers, when we are Christians and we face life, we have a choice. We are in our boat. We are in the situations that God has put us in. We are in our everyday life. We are with our family, our work colleagues, the places, the streets that we live, the friends at school that we have. We are in our boat. And we have a choice. And the choice is, do we stay safe and secure? Or like Peter, do we walk on water? Do we look to Jesus and choose adventure and choose the unknown and choose to follow his voice and choose to follow his promptings? You see, as a believer, I believe that as Christians, we're called to adventure. There'll be storms, there'll be winds, there'll be rain, there'll be difficulties, there'll be ups, there'll be downs, but we're called to follow Jesus. When we slip, when we fall, Jesus reaches down and pulls us up. But every day, we have a choice. Do I stay in the boat or do I walk on water? Do I stay in the comfort zone or do I choose adventure? Do I stick with what I know and what I'm safe and secure in the knowledge of? Or do I choose Jesus and choose adventure? Do I choose what I understand, what fits my box? Or do I choose Jesus, the unknown, the unexpected, the adventure, what I'm not sure about? So that example of Peter gives us a positive choice of how we are to live our life. So let me conclude and finish and wrap up with a challenge. I hope from this morning you will have taken home that message that when you fail, choose Jesus. When you mess up, as we all do in a variety of different ways, when you fail, choose Jesus. You are not defined by your failure. And let me tell you, do it straight away. Don't live in the self-pity and self-loathing and the feeling bad about yourself.